Access, Vov Teves, Sunday the 23rd of December, Rabbi Yehuda Marmorstein. Access to greatness is always available. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Stimler on the first yard site of their dear father, Mr. Wally Stimler, Zecher Levracha, Israel Zeiv Ben Rav Svi Osher Stimler.
Access to greatness is always available. Many of you may ask, who says we need access to greatness? Who says everyone has to be great? Isn't it enough just to be okay, to do the right thing? So I wanted to begin with a very, very important story that I once read. Rav Noach Weinberg's kind of said over the story. The story about the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya was in jail in Russia, and one of the Russian ministers, the minister of the government, came into the prison and was very impressed with the Baal HaTanya. He was impressed with his tzura, what he looked like, a very remarkable person. A goyish minister, one of the Russian government ministers, minister of the Tsar. And he said to Baal HaTanya, I've got a kasha for you. I have a question for you. A chumash, a kasha on chumash. In those days, a goyim knew chumash. Today, they're unlikely to ask such a question. He says, how could the Rebbeinu Shloim ask Odom Arishon, Ayeka, where are you? The Rebbeinu Shloim knows everything. So the goy says, Rebbeinu Shloim knows everything. How can he possibly ask the question, Ayeka, where are you? So the Baal HaTanya gave him the following amazing answer. He said, at the time that Odom Arishon did the Avera, made from Eitz Hadas, Rebbeinu Shloim asks him, why have you eaten from Eitz Hadas? What have you done? What's his response? It's not my fault, it's my wife's fault. She gave it to me. He blamed his wife. Rebbeinu Shloim asks, Chava, why did you eat from Eitz Hadas? What's her response? Hanochosh. Hanochosh is Shiyana Yoichel. It's not my fault. It's the Nochosh. The snake made me do it. So the Rebbeinu Shloim says to Adon, Ayeka, where are you? What's the matter with you? Why isn't there a you? Why isn't there a self? Why is it always someone else? This is the most important message to a human being. Ayeka, where are you? Why is it always what he's doing, what they're doing, where they're going, what they're wearing? Who cares? What about Ayeka? Where are you? Baron Kotler, Zechtan Livrocha, once said, we can see that the Makoir of all Averis relates to this. Yochanan Zakkai was about to leave the world. The Gemara says in Brochus. He was about to leave the world. And his Talmidim came in. It says, "Kshiro oisam hischa livchois." When he saw his Talmidim coming, he started to cry. So they asked him, "What are you crying about?" And he explained, he's frightened about the din b'cheshbon. He's going to have to go in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then they asked him for a brocha. What was the brocha that Yechim and Zaka gave to his Talmidim? We'd imagine a brocha the Rebbe would give to his Talmidim would be, you should stay and become great Tamil Chachomim. You should be tzaddikim ba'oide Hashem. No. He gave a bracha as follows. You should be as frightened of Hashem as you are of people. Yemor Shemaim k'mor bos v'adon. Why? So they said to him, is that all? And he answered, halavai, if only you treated Hashem as if he was a human being, as if he was a person. As if he was Mer. So he explained. So many times people do something wrong and they look round to check who's watching. If somebody's watching, they won't do it. So he said, halavai. So Rabbi Aaron said, Moide Kavod. Ran Kotzek said, Rosh Hashiva from Lakewood, I learned in Lakewood, not by Aaron, by his son, Ibshneya. He said a vot which is so sharp, this is the whole Indian. You're frightened because somebody can see you. But there's always somebody watching you. Who is the somebody? You. You're watching yourself. So why don't you care that you are watching yourself, that you see yourself doing the chet? If anybody else catches you, you run away. But the fact that you see yourself doesn't matter. Why? Because you think you're a worm. Because you think you're a nobody. You think you're a nothing. Yena matters. He matters. His opinion matters. What about your own opinion of yourself? That doesn't matter at all. If you only machshiv yourself as a person, you'd never do an avera. Because you say, how can I do an avera? I'm being watched. Not your shemayim. Not because you're scared of the Rebbeinu Shlom. But yourself. Kvoto Odom. I saw an amazing sfasemis in Parshas Vayetze. Not a well-known sfasemis at all. I think one which shows you that the issue of self-esteem, believing in yourself, recognizing that you matter, that you count, is so, so common that even he writes it on one of on Bechir Shavuos that there's no Shanchuma. Moshe Shanchuma says that Yaakov Avinu had to run from his house to Beis Lavon like somebody who kills B'Shegeg is Chayev Golos. That's what Moshe Shanchuma says. So Sfasemis is bothered. What comparison is there between Yaakov and Reitzech B'Shegeg? Did Yaakov kill somebody by mistake? So he says, do you know who Yaakov killed by mistake? Esau. What do you mean he killed him by mistake? He wasn't Makariv him. He didn't bring him to Torah Mitzvahs. He had a brother, a twin brother who was a Rosha, Esav a Rosha. And Yaakov could have been Makariv him, and he wasn't Makariv him. So that was called the Ritzicha B'Shegeg. For that he had to go into Golos. He had to be in Beis Lavan for so many years. So he writes here, Ki hoy lo lekarev gam oisoi. He says, for us it says, Midvah Sheker Tirchok. So you can't have anything to do with Esau, because it's a sheker. Avol Yaakovish emes hoyo b'koyche l'karif ha'koy l'Hashem Yisborach. Yaakov Avinu had the power to bring anybody to Hashem. V'rak ki hoyo shofel be'enov, but he was shofel be'enov. In his own eyes, he was too low. He thought he couldn't do it. V'nechshev l'shoigeg, and that's why it's considered as a shoigeg, as a mistake, as an accidental act, and not something deliberate. It's Yaakov Avinu. He didn't realize who he was. There's a maral which I saw quoted in the Shiurim on Chumash from Shlomo Volbe. Amazing maral. The maral tells us there are three people who get forgiven for their averus. One is the person who's a ger shenizgaya, moichel avinoisav. The second is somebody who gets married, mishenoise isha. Somebody gets married, Moichel Avinoisav gets forgiven for his averus. And who's the third person who gets forgiven? Misha Ol Legdula. Somebody's appointed to a position. He gets forgiven for his averus. So the Maral asks, why are these three people forgiven? And here's his answer. He says, the Sibas Hachet has been removed. The person who was a Gesh and his Gaya, he's forgiven because the Sibas Hachet was, he was a Goy. Why did he do Averis beforehand? Because he was a Goy. He's not a Goy anymore, he's a Ger. He's Moichel Avinoisav, he gets forgiven for his Averis. Mishenoise Isha. Somebody gets married. Why does he get forgiven? Just because he's standing down the chuppah, he gets forgiven. He gets Mechilas Avinus. So he answers, the Sibas Achet has been removed. What was Sibas Achet? He was a Bocha. He was unmarried, he was single. That caused him to do Averis. Now he's no longer single, so the Sibas Achet has been removed. What about Ola Ligdula? So he says a phenomenal vod. He says, Roiv Avoinois, the majority of Averis that people do, come from one cause, Katnus. They think they're small. They think they're insignificant. A person thinks he's a nobody. He doesn't realize he's great. If you chat that he was great, he wouldn't do those Averis. He says, Roiv Averis come from Katnus. So Misha Ol Ligdula, the Siva Sachet has been removed, and that's why Moichel Avinoisav. There's in Siva Shalom which says, Achsir Shevot, and Veigash Eilav Yehuda, how did Yehuda have the guts to approach Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim? He knew Yosef as the prime minister, and he's coming to him with kindness, coming to him with criticism. How do you dare to do it? So he says, Vayigash Elav Yehuda Vayoyim, and he said, be Adoini, be inside me as Adoini is the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you chap that you've got the Ribbono Shel Olam inside you, be inside you as the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're Chelek El Kam Emal, do you know who you are? You're a human being. You're Nivra B'Tselem Lekim. How could you ever do something so? How could you ever be scared? How could you be frightened of another human being? The avoida of Shoivavim starts from this morning. This is the beginning of Shoivavim. Shoivavim is the Seder, Shema Yisrael, Rabbi Yishalach, Yisrael, Mishpotim. This is Man of Tshuva. So I wondered, where in Shmois is there any shaychus to tshuva? In Shmois, we have something to do with tshuva. Where do we see, beginning with Shmois, have something to do with tshuva? So clearly, Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim dropped a great deal. Shmois starts with the, after the patira of Yaakovina, Yaakovina has died. Klal Yisrael dropped in their level. In what way did they drop? Rav Shlomo Volba says, again, a phenomenal chiddush in the whole Mahalach of the Makkos. He says, the Makkos were not needed to pressurize Paro to let Bnei Yisrael go free. You didn't need to do that. The Rebbeinu could have just made all the Mitzrayim drop dead, or be paralyzed for half an hour while Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim. They didn't need to have Eser Makkos. What were Eser Makkos for? So he says, Eser Makkos were there to give Klal Yisrael a sense of Roimimus. To make them feel we're human beings, we're not slaves. Because you can only enslave a slave. If somebody feels he's a mensch, he's a person, he can't be made into an effort. The tachlis of the Makkos was to be Meroimim Klal Yisrael, to raise Klal Yisrael up, to make them feel we're somebody. We're people. We're human beings, we're Bnei Chayrim. And they could only be enslaved as long as they thought of themselves as avodim. If you have an avod, if you have the mentality of an eved, you can be enslaved. Once you see yourself as a free man, there's no way to enslave you. And that was what the makkas were for. To show each makka, dam showed the difference between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrayim. Tzadeh, each makka, same thing, to show again, you're not who you think you are. You're much, much greater. And I wondered if this could help us understand something which was bothering me over Chanukah. I was very disturbed by a simple question, never occurred to me before, about Chanukah. The Goyim have oppressed Klal Yisrael for thousands of years. And clearly Antiochus, the Greek king, wasn't only out to destroy us physically, but spiritually, he was trying to destroy us. He made a gzeira, chodesh Shabbos u'mila. He's trying to wipe us out. And yet, when Nebuchadnezzar came to the Beis HaMikdash, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. When the Romans came to the Beis HaMikdash, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It says in the Pasuk, Tzion sodot tichoresh, they made the whole of Tzion like a field, a plowed field, oru oru ar yisoypo. They completely tried to obliterate all zeicha that there was ever Beis HaMikdash on this spot. And yet the Yevonim, who were so anti-religious, who were so against Yiddishkeit, what did they do? They came inside the Beis HaMikdash, and they left the Beis HaMikdash. They metamed, but they didn't destroy it, they didn't demolish it. Why not? And I'd like to suggest the following answer. Because the Yevonim were chachomim, they were wise. And they understood that if you destroy a Beis HaMikdash, we'll have a Tisha B'Av. If you destroy a Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael have got gaguim, they've got tremendous desire for Iskaivus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're so upset, they're so depressed, they're so in pain at the lack of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And 3 times a day we'll daven Yerushalayim Melechu Barach Metoshet. 3 times a day we say, Semach Tov Adav Tchomeres Atzmiach. Mitzapim Yeshua. And if you want Ruchnius, you actually have it already. That's the amazing thing. You got it already now. Whatever you want to have, which is physical, you haven't got. Unless you have it. But anything spiritual I want, if I want it, I've already got it. If you want the Beis HaMikdash, you've got the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say Yizke v'yira, that he's going to be Zoyche. It says Zoyche v'roya now. There's a sweet story I once heard. I think in the name of the Rishna, he said there was a rumor going around Mashiach's come. By the way, there have been rumors about Mashiach coming many times in Klal Yisrael. I've got another great story about Mashiach coming. I'll try to remember to say it afterwards. It's a very big limud in it. But the Rishna said, he said Mashiach's come. So they came in to ask him, has Mashiach come or not? So he got up from his chair, went to the window, opened the window, stuck his head out, and he closed the window again. He said, no, Mashiach hasn't come. So he said, why did you have to get up and go out to look out beside the window? So he said, because in my room, Mashiach's come already. Here Mashiach's come. What is Mashiach? Mashiach's come is the brain room. He's got it ready. But outside, once there has Mashiach come outside. So Marilla Kamaisa Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was a Rav in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Before he became Rashi of Torah Vadas, he was a Rav in Toronto. And in the 1950s, there was a time when there was a group of Mishalochim had come from Eretz Yisrael to Toronto collecting. And there was sort of this rumor that Mashiach's about to come. So one of the people who davened in his shul wasn't from, who was Michal Shabbos, he came along to Rabbi Yaakov and he said to Rabbi Yaakov, Rebbe, is it true that Mashiach's coming now this year? Is it Taka Emes? So Rabbi Yaakov says, why do you want to know? So he said, because if it's really true, I'm going to close my shop on Shabbos. I'm going to become a Baal Tshuva now because Mashiach's coming. Is it true? Is Mashiach coming now? So Rabbi Yaakov said, I've got no idea. I don't think you can rely on Mashiach coming now. He could come now. He could come in a year's time. He could come in 500 years' time. We don't know when Mashiach's going to come. So the man said, oh, thank you for telling me. Now I'll keep my shop open on Shabbos. Carry on being Michal Shabbos. So the Baal Batim went mad. They were really upset with him. Here the Rav's got an opportunity for this person to close his shop on Shabbos and start keeping Shabbos. And Rabbi Yaakov's turning it down with this, by saying, no, who says Mashiach will come now? Maybe Mashiach will come later. Why is he losing out on this chance to bring this person to become a Shem Shabbos? So Rabbi Yaakov said the following. This shows you the Ashkof of a God Ladoir. This is called Godless. He said, how could I gamble with a Yitz Olam Abo? I said, what do you mean? He said, we've got Yud Gimel Ikrim. There are 13 Ali Mamins. And you have to believe in them to have a Chelik in Olam Abo. If this man sees that he closed his shop, and Mashiach doesn't come this year, then he won't believe in Mashiach anymore. And then he won't get Olam Abo. If he's Michal Shabbos, he'll still get Olam Abo. But if he doesn't believe in one of Yud Gimel Ikrim, he'll lose his Olam Abo. I couldn't take the risk of this man's Olam Abo. Even though I'd be mezakeh him with Shmir Shabbos, that I couldn't do. That's Pshat and Gadlus. Thinking of another person's position. When we look at what Gadlus is, what does it mean to be great? I once thought the Mishnah in Ovis tells us a very simple access route to all the things people want. Everybody wants Chochmah, they want Gevurah, and they want Oisha. So the Mishnah says in Ovis, everyone can have it. It's up for grabs. Anybody can be a Chochm. It's nothing to do with your IQ. Nothing to do with how brainy you are. Nothing to do with whether you come from a clever family or not. How do you become a Chochm? Eiz a Chochm alim kodol. Gibber, it's not to do with how many hours you spend in the gym. Eiz a Gibber, kodesh yitzroi. Eiz a Osher, smach b'chelke. Osher isn't to do with what you've got in your bank account. So I was very disturbed. There's a posuk in the Novi which says, Al yishalo chochem mochoch mosoi. Al yishalo giba begurosi. Al yishalo osho ba osho. Ki mzoisi yishalo mishalo. Ask v'yodoi oisi. So the Novi is saying very clearly, we condemn this attitude that Chochmah is something to be so proud of, and Gvura and Oisha. Al Yisalem. So how are you Yashiv the Mishnah and the Posuk? I think the answer is as follows, very simple answer. Al Yisalel Chochom Chochmosoi. If a Chochom is proud of the Chochmah that he possesses, if the Gibor is proud of the Gevurah that he possesses, if the Oshir is proud of the Ashiris which he possesses, Al Yisalel. That's nothing to boast about, to be so proud about. But Eizeu Chochom doesn't mean somebody who possesses Chochmah. It means somebody who is a Chochom, who is wise. And that's the opposite of what the world would think of as a wise person. If you have one of your children is very, very bright, the school tells you, he has to skip a class. You know why? He understands everything. You have to put him up, higher, higher, higher. This teacher's no good for him. The Mishnah is saying exactly the opposite. Eizeu Chochom lo nekolodom. If you can't learn in kindergarten, you're not a Chochom. Unless you can learn from everybody, you're not a Chochom. You might have Chochmah, you're a genius, you're brilliant, you've got like encyclopedia in your head, you know everything, but you're not a Chochom. Eizeu Chochom, Eizeu Gibor, Eizeu Osher. That's real godless. I want to finish with a story which I read once, which I think is so, so powerful and really has to wake everybody up, especially after hearing that maral that roiv avoinus come from katnus. Majority of avoinus come from being small. The majority of avoinus come from that. Roiv, that's a sib of roiv avoinus. Rabbi Krohn says over Maisa that he once went to Miami in the winter and he met Beryl Wine there. It was the Rav of the shul. And he looked around the shul and he saw everybody's face is brown. Everyone's tanned. It's Miami. Mm. Beautiful sunshine. Everyone's tanned. There's one man in the whole shul with a white face. Who is that? The rabbi. Beryl Wine. So he said to him, how come your face is white? Everyone else is tanned. Everyone else has been spending time outside. And you're inside the shul the whole time, inside the building the whole time. So I said to him, I'll tell you why. He says, when I was a boy about 10 years old, I lived in Chicago, and my father took me to the airport to meet a very choshev visitor we had of Herzog. Came from Eretz Yisrael, came to Chicago. And they gave him Kavod Melochim, gave him tremendous honor, importance. Then afterwards, he took me to the shul where Rav Herzog spoke. Rav Herzog spoke to the Olam in the shul, and he said the following. He said to them, you see this big file in my hand? I want to tell you what I've been doing with this file, where I've just come from. He said, I've just come here from Rome. On his way to Chicago, he went to Rome. He says, yes, I had an audience with the Pope. And I gave the Pope this file. This file contains the names of 10,000 Jewish children who were taken into convents and monasteries during the war and orphanages. And I begged the Pope, I begged him, can I have them back? They're Jewish children. Their parents have been murdered by the Nazis during the war. And the Pope said to me, I'm not going to let one child come back. They're ours now. They've been baptized. They're Christian children. I'm not letting you have any of them back. And I begged and I cried and it didn't make any difference. The Pope was adamant he's not letting a single Jewish child come back. Not one. And then Rav Herzog put his head down on the Ständer and he cried and cried and cried for 10 minutes. And he finally lifted his head up and he said to us all there, he says, I was only a boy of 10 years old, And he said, those 10,000 Jewish children have been lost. But what are we going to do about the children who have not been lost? What are we doing to be mechanech children today? What efforts are we making in Kiryat Rechayim? What efforts are we making to give our children, to give every Jewish child an education, to teach them about Torah and Mitzvahs? And he said, at that time, there and then, as a 10-year-old boy, I decided when I grow up, I've got to do something. I've got to spread the Yiddishkeit. I've got to teach Torah. That's called godless. Godless is when you have an opportunity, you don't let an opportunity slip through your fingers. One more, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Here in Golders Green, the following story happened. Maybe a few people here even know the Maisa. My older brother, Yaakov, is 2 years older than me. He was in Hasmonean. There was a boy in his class who didn't have a father or mother. It was a Yossin. So they didn't have their parents. Boy in school. And my brother asked my parents, can I invite him for a Shabbos lunch? Which is fine. We lived here in Ravenscroft Avenue. Invited him for Shabbos lunch. And at the table, my father said to this boy, he said to him, David, how is it in the place where you're staying? You're staying with a family here in Golders Green. How do you like it? He says, I'm not really happy there at all. I'm looking desperately to move to find somewhere else to stay. So my father there at the table, Shabbos table, he said to him, well, you can always stay here for a day or two while you're looking for somewhere else, you know, in between if you need to come. Fine, just, I was in the conversation. Our Shabbos table is usually pretty long, like 2 or 3 hours long. And it's just one comment in the conversation. Sunday morning, about this time, there's a ring on the doorbell. And he's there with his 2 suitcases. He stayed till his chasna. He stayed till his chasna. He shared the room with me. He stayed till his chasna. So I thought to myself, you know, what could have happened, what might have happened, but you know, after a few days you say, right, you know, Dorot, have you found anywhere yet? No. Opportunities come along. Godless is about using opportunities, whether the opportunity of hearing a drosha, the opportunity of a vod which makes an impact, an opportunity of meeting somebody and being able to help them. It's dvorim katanim, which are really dvorim gedolim. That maral, which Shlomo Volbe quotes, roiv averis come from katnus, that's really everything. Think of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu b'chir sheba ovois. Until he came to Mitzrayim, he didn't live. Vayichi is only the last 17 years of his life. But he's in the most hostile environment. He's in a place which is terrible. Now that's Vayichi. The Tanur Eliyahu says about those 17 years, it was me'en olam habo. It was b'li yetzahara. Those were the best years in the worst place. And the Baal Turin explains more. It says, Vayugad l'melech Mitzrayim ki borach ha'om, and Vayugad l'lovim b'yem ha'shlishi ki borach Yaakov, ki borach et b'gmatri ha'molek. What's the shaykhs between one and the other? What's the Baal Turin? It says, there are only 2 times in the Torah it says ki borach on these 2 occasions. Vayugad l'melech Mitzrayim ki borach ha'om, and Vayugad l'lovim b'yem ha'shlishi ki borach Yaakov, ki borach et b'gmatri ha'molek. And he answers as follows. When you're fighting against the surroundings, you're fighting against the hostile environment, then you can be a godel, then you can be great. Once you've left the environment, Klal Yisrael is created in 2 places, in Beis Lovon, the worst house, and Mitzrayim, the worst country. But in those places where we're fighting against the environment, we can become gedolim, we can become great people. Once we leave, there's a molik, there's krirus, there's coldness. Godless is about carrying fire with you the whole time. To always carry sunshine with you. To always carry fire with you. That wherever you're going, you never lose it. And perhaps that's why the Torah says, the whole toicha is tachas shel levat shem kecha v'simcha v'tuv leivov. Because like we said before, The rotzen to have a Beis HaMikdash is having a Beis HaMikdash. The rotzen for his karvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his karvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the rotzen to do mitzvahs is kiyum HaMitzvahs. So when mitzvahs are done b'simcha, when you're serving the Rebbeinu Shem with his lavas, with a fire, then that's real rotzen. Oynes Rachmona Patrei, because there's no rotzen. The yachas, the connection you have, the connection between your action and the person is how much rotzen you have. Simcha is spitz rotzen. Simcha is the greatest amount of will and wanting. Do you really want it? If you really want Iskaris Rebbeinu Shem, then you've got Iskaris Rebbeinu Shem. That's why Tefillah is Avodah Shebelev. Tefillah is this opportunity of showing that we're Gdolim. Shimshon Pinkas said, why do you say Tzeiskim Sholem on Friday night? Why do you send the Malachim away? Why do you send away the Malachim on Friday night from your house? You've brought them in. Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Asher, Baruchim Shalom, Baruchim Shalom. Then you send them away. Tzeiskim Sholem. So he says, you know why? Because you're about to start a Shabbos meal. And the Kedusha in your Shabbos meal is so great, a Malach can't be there. Just like Kodesh Kedoshim. Kodesh Kedoshim, when the Kohen Gadol went to the fly of Lifnim, Yerushalmi says, Malachim had to go out, because the Kedusha is too great. So he says, every Shabbos table is like that. So we have to have Shifa Legadlus. We have to realize access to greatness is available for everybody. Thank you.